in the talk today, which is, who do you say I am? Which is something about recognition and identifying who people is. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a leisurely walk through this passage of Scripture. We'll take some byways and little paths off it from time to time. There are some notes which I've done for this service, so don't feel you have to write something down. And I'll be at the door at the end and happy to give you one. Probably Mike Johnson will help as well. You'd recognise the format of the notes as well, probably as being from the Mike Johnson stable of notes, so that's great. Okay, so who do you say I am? Matthew 16, 13 to 21. Thank you, Pete. So a little bit back, I think. Yeah. So when Jesus came to the region of Caesar Philippi, we just want to look at the time that he did this. It was a time where Jesus wanted to be on his own with his disciples. And it was a chance for him to take his disciples out to rest and regroup a bit. They'd been subjected to huge crowds of people demanding things from both Jesus and the disciples. And there'd been increasing opposition from both religious authorities and some of the secular authorities. So Jesus wanted to take some time just to be with his disciples. And at that time, rabbis talked on the move. If you wanted to be a disciple of a rabbi, you travelled with him, you lived with him, and you stayed with him. Very different to the sort of, we think of a teaching session, which might be a big auditorium or a lecture hall, you know, sort of lecture notes and seminars. And it was to be some difficult teaching, because Jesus had to teach the disciples who he was and how his mission to be done. So he's taken them out to take some time. And the place that he went to, Caesarea Philippi, is miles away from the centre of the action, really, from the Gospels. It was way up north. It was a Gentile area, largely. And it was an area ruled by Philip, one of Herod's useless sons. So it was a different governor as well. So it was a different area on that. And one of the other scriptures says that he was travelling between villages. So he was very low key indeed. But it was also an interesting landscape. It was utterly dominated by religious power. In that area, there were 14 Canaanite temples dedicated to Baal. It was loomed large in Jewish history. This is where they thought the River Jordan rose, so it was a special place for the Jews. For the Greeks, they thought this is where the god Pan had come from. And for the Romans, they had built a huge new temple there, and which dominated the landscape. So it was an area that was steeped in religion. So that's the place. So if you can picture in your minds Jesus and his disciples traveling almost unknown, living hand to mouth, perhaps going from village to village, in an area that just seemed almost oppressive with the weight of other religions. So that's the picture. That was the time and the place. And then he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? The Son of Man was Jesus' favourite way of referring to himself. It was sort of a way of not declaring who he was, but identifying with us as well. And it was part of his teaching. And it was a good question, wasn't it? I can see them almost on a dusty road in that area of Caesarea Philippi, moving from place to place. This is a great question. Or it may have been after supper, as one of the other Gospels says, when they're all relaxed. That was a good teaching question. And it got a good response as well. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. a really lively and varied response. To say that Jesus was a prophet in the history and tradition of the prophets, the Old Testament, was their scriptures, was a high praise indeed. To say that he was Jeremiah is even higher praise to some extent. Jeremiah was one of the great prophets and linked in Old Testament scripture with the coming of the Messiah. Elijah, even greater praise. Elijah was definitely linked in a prophecy that Elijah would come back before the Messiah came in Malachi, in the book of Malachi. And finally, they thought he might be John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist was dead now, so a very odd thing to think that. But again, John the Baptist had really turned the whole thing, you know, the whole society. I was in uproar because of him. And I'm sure there were others as well. At least some people thought he was a troublemaker. He was known as a friend of sinners. And he was thought to be in league with demons as well. So I think the disciples might have picked out the best of a bad lot. But great confusion, clearly. He asked that question. They came back with a whole list of different people. And I can imagine there being great confusion and noise as the disciples discussed what was happening and who he might be. A really lively hubbub. But what about today? What do people believe about Jesus today? There's a lot of confusion then. There's a lot of confusion today. And sometimes on mission, we ask and we use a questionnaire to specifically ask this question. Thanks, Pete. It's a survey question. It says, what do you believe about Jesus? So we use this question at people's doors, on the streets, or wherever we can get somebody to talk to. And the question is, what do you believe about Jesus? And we use this as a help. He never existed. He was a good man and nothing more. He was a prophet or messenger from God. He is the only Son of God or something else. I'll let you read that for just a minute or so. Perhaps think about how you would answer that questionnaire. And then, second point is, how you think people out there might answer that questionnaire. Would it be perhaps 5 or 20% say that he never existed? I'll just let you think about that for a moment. The results will be in the notes and at the end of the sermon. I'll just let you have a look at that for a moment. It starts some really great conversations with people. But there are all sorts of responses to that we get, but there are often two common responses. The first one is, I've never really thought about that before. People really struggle to answer the question. So a lot of doubt and not sure, ums and ers. And the second is, well, I'm not sure. I can't really come to a conclusion about that. And some really strange responses. You know, spacemen. You know, Jesus is a spaceman. He's one of the enlightened ones. All sorts of odd responses. And they're perhaps the two common most responses we get. And as we have those good conversations, we often see the Holy Spirit at work as people are asked that question. You know, they go, oh, well, no, he definitely existed. And you can see their mind at work and perhaps their views changing. It's very exciting. And the same will be true for your neighbours and your friends, possibly some members of your family. They may be not sure. And there may be some of us here today who are not sure. Some of us who have been around church for a while may know a bit about Jesus, but never really got to grips about who Jesus is. And there'll be a chance later to respond to that question so that we can be sure. Okay, so back to our dusty road in Caesarea Philippi. And then Jesus says, but what about you? Jesus asked, who do you say I am? What a question. I mean, the disciples had lived with Jesus, traveled with him, shared meals, washed up together. What did it mean? What did that mean for the disciples? And I can imagine the disciples going very quiet. It had been a noisy hubbub as they remembered different people saying, you know, Jesus was like that or Jesus is this. But now I think it must have gone really quiet. And this question was like a bolt from a clear blue sky, like a pebble in a placid pool. And the disciples, perhaps suddenly thinking hard, the question turned back on them. It was an important question. Would the disciples get it? Would they understand who Jesus was? You can imagine Jesus waiting for the response and all heaven holding its breath. And then Simon Peter said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And I can imagine Peter just blurting this out somehow, just it coming out of him. And it's a real step of faith for him that he could go from, you know, this ragged, dusty rabbi and disciples to saying that the person they've been traveling with is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It's a huge step of faith for him. And what would the response of Jesus be to that statement? Well, just about any great religious leader would say, no, I'm not God. I can teach you about God. I can tell you about God. You can learn from him, but I'm not God. But not Jesus. His response? He said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by Father in heaven." Jesus says, "Well done. Well done, Simon Peter. You've got it." Jesus affirms what Peter says and adds to it by saying, "My Father." Peter said, "Son of the living God." And Jesus says, "Yes, you're right. My Father." Jesus also says that Peter needed a bit of a helping hand to see who Jesus was, that God actually intervened. And we need a helping hand sometimes as well, and when we come across those difficult questions, and we should ask for help. I'd suggest on a daily basis, but that's just me. Ask the Holy Spirit to help me in my walk with God on a daily basis. I think Jesus was delighted. I think all heaven was delighted. Somebody had got it. But Jesus goes on, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound on earth, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." It's a really powerful affirmation of what Peter says. On Peter's faith, Jesus will build his kingdom and empower his disciples. On our faith, Jesus will continue to build his kingdom and empower us, his disciples. I don't think it was just Peter. I think all of the disciples got it as well, because none of them deserted him. We know in John 6 that lots of Jesus' disciples deserted him. When the going got tough, they pushed off, but not these 12. Tough teaching, but they stayed with him. Jesus' question, so important. If disciples didn't get it, if they didn't get who Jesus was, well, then his work was in real danger of failing. Jesus went on. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Well, why is that? This is brilliant news, isn't it? I think two reasons. The people might proclaim him king and create an uprising against Rome. And that was one of Jesus' fears. And that's recounted in John 6. But also the disciples first had to learn, yes, that Jesus was the Messiah and more. And learn that Jesus was to be a very different Messiah to what people thought. And that's the context of the next two verses. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed on the third day to be raised to life again. From that time on, there's a key little sort of bit in Scripture there. I mean, something had changed. Jesus was now moving on to a different type of teaching. The disciples had got it. Jesus was the Messiah and more. Now that they must learn that Jesus' way was to be the awful way of the cross and his glorious resurrection. Difficult teaching for the disciples, and difficult teaching for us. But why was that question so important? Why was Peter's response so important? So important that he changed Peter's name from Simon Peter to Peter. I've always thought that's quite an odd thing to do, to change somebody's name. But it was so that everybody remembered. When they looked at Simon Peter, they went, oh no, you're Peter now. And that's because of that time in Caesarea Philippi when Peter said, it was a way of helping them all remember this really important thing. Jesus' plan was to build his church through the disciples. Simple folk, poorly educated, not high status, they would be the changers of the world. If they didn't get it and understand who Jesus was, Son of the Living God, well, then Jesus' mission was going to be in real danger. Who would carry the gospel message forward? You can imagine all heaven holding its breath, seeing what the response was going to be, and what joy there was when it was decided they could get it. And at Pentecost, that's exactly what happened. They were obedient to Jesus, waiting for him. They received the power of the Holy Spirit, and they went out fearless, willing to undertake any sort of sacrifice for their Lord and Saviour. And today, Jesus is looking for exactly the same group of disciples to go out for him. He looks at us and he sees the builders of the church in our generation. Not perfect, scared of change, timid sometimes, but we're the people he's chosen. The question, but what about you? Who do you say I am? Rings down the ages through every generation. And Jesus asks each one of us the same question. But what about you? Who do you say I am? There may be some of us here today, not sure. Some of us may have been around church for a while, knocked around Christian, but never really taken that step of faith and said, I accept that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the Living God. And an invitation now for us, like Peter, to take a step of faith and answer that question, to be sure. Let's pray, if we may. Thank you, Jesus, for Peter speaking out that truth about you. Thank you, Father, for helping Peter see that truth about Jesus. By your Spirit, please help us now really to see who Jesus is. Amen. I'd like you to invite you to stand, if you can, with me. If you'd like to stand, please. Back a bit, Pete. If you'd like, I'm going to lead, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And then I'd like us all to respond, you are the Christ, the Son of the Living God. Is that okay? But what about you? Who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God. But what about you? Who do you say I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God. Thank you, Lord, for those who have taken a step of faith today. Please bless them and help them draw closer to you. Thank you that Scripture says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you, Lord, that we can be sure in you. Amen. Please sit. If you've taken that step of faith today, then please talk to me or someone in the church a little later. I have got a handout, which I'll be delighted to give you later. I think you're probably back on. Thank you.